When Caroline Meeber boards the afternoon train for Chicago in August 1899, all she has with her is a small trunk, a yellow leather strap purse containing her sister Minnie's address, and $4. When a girl leaves home at 18, she either falls into saving hands and becomes better, or she assumes cosmopolitan virtues and becomes worse.
Going all the way?
Excuse me?
To Chicago.
Oh, yes. Yes, I am.
Your first time?
Oh, I didn't say that.
No, you didn't.
I don't see what's so amusing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I saw you get on at Columbia City.
You were spying on me. I think I'd like to sit somewhere else.
Oh, please, I meant no offense. I wasn't spying. I just happened to pass as you were making your goodbyes.
Oh. You have kin in Columbia City?
No, I was there on business. I'm a drummer. Yeah, I drum up business by knocking on doors. Pretty good at it, too.
What do you sell?
Clothes. Well, I travel all over the country. Here's my card.
Charles H. Drouet.
It's pronounced Drouet. Our family was French on my father's side.
That's why his clothes are new and expensive. Gee, what must he think of my tired shoes and faded jacket?
Carrie's Sunday best are the last thing on Charlie Drouet's mind. He sees the shine in her eyes, the bloom on her lips. The young salesman is an old hand at the game of pleasure.
You plan on staying in Chicago long?
Why do you ask?
Well, I'm going to be there a while, studying new stock lines. I might show you around.
I don't know whether I can. I shall be living with my sister.
Oh, if she minds, we'll fix that. You want to see Lincoln Park and Michigan Avenue. They are putting up some great buildings there. It's a second New York.
I don't know.
What is your address?
Carrie Meeber, 354 West Van Buren Street.
Carrie. That's a real pretty name. You'll be at home if I come around Monday night?
I think so.
Chicago. Next stop, Chicago.
Let me carry your grip.
Oh, no, please don't. My sister will be waiting for me.
I'll be near then, in case she isn't there.
Thank you. You're very kind.
Goodbye. Till I see you Monday. Remember, I'll be looking till you find your sister.
As she meets her sister, Carrie looks back and sees Drouet's confident figure watching. Seeing her safe, he turns to go, but not before sending the ghost of a smile. Only Carrie sees it, and she feels something lost to her as he moves away. The feeling vanishes when confronted with the bustling vitality of Chicago. Famous for its many commercial opportunities, this city of over 500,000 souls acts like a giant magnet, drawing from all quarters the hopeful and the hopeless. As they ride to Minnie's apartment in a horse-drawn streetcar, Carrie is overtaken by the possibility of possibility.
It's so big, Minnie. Is it always like this?
Yeah, only more so. Oh. You'll get used to it, Carrie.
They say it's a second New York. What's that building there? It's huge.
Headquarters of the First National Bank of Chicago.
Gee, oh, they must have an awful lot of money if they need such a large building to put it in.
I guess. Come on, Carrie, tell me the news. How's Mom?
Oh, she's fine. She finds it harder since Paul passed on, but she likes Columbia City.
To tell the truth, Carrie, I miss it too.
Whatever for? It's so dull. There's nothing to do except church on Sundays. A dance every other Saturday night.
Well, there's more work here, certainly.
Oh, there's more everything. I feel as if I could be anyone and do anything I wanted.
I felt just the same when I first arrived. It wears off.
Oh, I won't ever be tired of Chicago.
Life here isn't all laughs, Carrie. If your luck fails, there ain't a lot of charity in a city like this.
Who needs charity? Can we go to Lincoln Park and Michigan Avenue?
You seem to know a lot about it. Who have you been talking to?
No one. I read up on it before I left. I know all about Schlesinger and Meyer's department store.
What do you know?
It sells everything under one roof. Clothes, shoes, food, you name it. I can't wait to shop there.
You'll wait a long time then. It's far too expensive for the likes of us.
Oh, a cat can look at a king.
Come on, this is our stop.
See that? We just passed the theater.
I know.
Back in Columbia City, we're lucky if we get a traveling show once every 6 months. Imagine a theater on your doorstep where you can go anytime you want to. It's fantastic. How often do you go?
Now and then. Come on. The apartment's over there. There. Oh, what do you think of our little flat, Carrie?
It's very small. Oh, it smells. It has a lovely view, Minnie.
If you have time to look. Oh, here, hold the baby while I finish setting the table. Carl likes to eat as soon as he gets home.
There. Chicago's so exciting, Minnie. I can hardly believe I'm here.
Gruscott, Minnie.
Carl, this is Sister Carrie.
She came then.
You didn't tell me he spoke funny, Minnie.
There are lots of immigrants in Chicago, Carrie. Laughing at their accents is a surefire way of getting into trouble.
I'm sorry. Hello, Carl.
Hello. You'll be wanting a job to pay the rent. $4 a week.
Yes. I thought I'd look around tomorrow. Which way is the business part?
East. Left up the street. You better look in those big manufacturing houses on Franklin Street. Lots of girls work there.
Right.
You want to see the city, too. We'll go out on Sunday, and I'll show you Lincoln Park.
Oh, I'd like that.
I wash up, and then we eat.
They eat, mostly in silence. Afterwards, Carrie and Minnie clear away while Carl Hansen reads his newspaper.
So, what are we going to do tonight?
I have to get up early. I go to bed now.
Oh, good night.
Carl works way down at the stockyards. He has to get up at 5:30.
What time do you get up to make breakfast?
About 5:20. Now, I should go to bed, too. You know where your room is.
I'll just sit up a while and watch the street from the window.
Suit yourself. You won't have much time for that once you're working.
Oh, do you have a pen and paper I could use? I want to write someone a note.
On the mantel.
Alone, for the first time that day, Carrie Meeba sits at the window and considers her composition. After one brief evening with her sister and brother-in-law, it is clear from their opposition to anything save a conservative round of toil that any relations with Charles H. Drouet must be abandoned.
He can't come here. Carl and Minnie wouldn't like it. They expect me to work hard and stay at home like them. Dear Mr. Drouet, I cannot have you call on me here. You will have to wait until you hear from me again. My sister's place is so small. Yours very truly... No. Yours sincerely, Carrie Meeber. I'll post it tomorrow when I look for work.
And look for work she does. But the city which so recently excited now only intimidates. She passes warehouses and machine shops, but each time she thinks of trying for a job, her nerve fails her and she hurries on. On Fifth Avenue, she passes the door of a large wholesale shoe house.
Can I speak to the manager, please?
A man appears and speaks in a strong European accent. Carrie begins to smile, but then she remembers Minnie's advice.
No, shouldn't laugh at the way he talks. I'm looking for a job. Do you need any help?
Once more, she has to concede her lack of experience, but something in her demeanor appeals to the man. He asks if she'll work for $4.50 a week, and when she says yes, tells her to report at 8:00 Monday morning.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Revived by possibility, Carrie's nervous tension lifts. She walks out onto the busy street and discovers a new atmosphere. Smiling groups of men and women are pouring out of workplaces, their day's labor ended. Scraps of cheerful conversation and notes of laughter float on the air. No longer weary, Carrie trips lightly home. She's going to enjoy Chicago. After a weekend of high hopes, Carrie is brought low by her first day at the shoe factory. The noise, lack of light and heat and the smell all crowd in upon her, but there's no time to think. A young woman is ordered to show Carrie the ropes.
Patty, name's Beth. Now this is your machine. You sit there.
Here.
Don't worry. It isn't hard to do. Now take this piece of leather, fasten it with this clamp, like so, and start the machine. Now go around the base, unclamp, and you're ready for the next one. You just gotta keep a steady rhythm.
The pieces of leather come from the machinist to her right and are passed on to the girl at her left. An average speed is necessary, and the girls either side help Carrie by working as slow as they dare. In time, Carrie achieves a rhythm and finds relief from her nervousness.
This is not too hard. I can do it. Oh, it's so dark and hot. No one else seems concerned. Oh, my legs ache. Oh, I wish this stool had a back on it.
Oh, my! Clamps come undone.
Are you machine?
Yes, yes.
Don't keep the language.
Carrie sets to with renewed concentration, but as time passes, her back, neck, arms, and fingers begin to ache until she's one mass of dull, complaining muscles. Unable to stand, she is reduced to squirming back and forth on her stool.
Come on, Carrie. Lunch. Oh.
Hey, Kitty, you should have seen the tie Harry had on last night.
Bet that was all he had on by the time you'd finished with him.
Go boil your head.
It's filthy and dark. Only boxes to sit on. And it stinks of oil and stale sweat. Outside there are people in gaiety. Is this my life from now on?
The afternoon passes as slowly as the morning. But finally, it is over.
Hey, Ken, going my way?
I don't think so.
Don't mind him, Carrie. He's too fresh. See you tomorrow.
Good night, Beth.
Carrie's relief at her escape is brief. Outside, crowds hurry with the same buzz and energy, but in her grimy work clothes, she feels ashamed in the face of the better-dressed girls going by, and her heart rebels.
I am worth more than this.